Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock at News Radio KMAN. I'm Dave Lewis, and it's time for our daily 5 o'clock COVID-19 update. And I think this is the first time that we haven't had Julie Gibbs on for quite some time. She's quite deserving of having an afternoon off, maybe a little bit more than that. Pat Collins, Riley County Emergency Management Director, is joining us on the phone. Pat, good morning. Afternoon, I guess.
It's afternoon, Dave. Good afternoon.
Well, you know, I took that nap, and I just haven't quite gotten back on my feet up after that. So
there you go.
Yes. Well, pleasure to have you on, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. One of the things we'd like to do right off the bat in our reports, Pat, is talk about some of the numbers. And the Riley County number for today does not have an increase. We are at 26. Checking around the region, Pottawatomie County remains at 5. Geary County remains at 10. Waubunsee County's at 1. Clay County is at 2, and Morris County, which was one of the early ones, still has 2 listed here according to the state report. In Kansas, we hit the 1,700 mark, 1,705 cases, now 66 counties, and a total of 84 deaths reported by the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. And Pat, you know, there's a lot of things that boy, in emergency management, do you prepare for something like this?
We actually do. We've done drills and exercises. We've done plans. We did a lot of plans back when we did the H1N1 outbreak and some of those. So it's part of our repertoire. So,
well, there's a lot of activities. I know that there are plans right now in case you know, there's a need for more space to have an alternate care site, and that looks like that'll be ready for beginning Monday. So at least from a financial and an agreement perspective, whether the need to have patients or staff work out in a different area that is not the hospital or in a healthcare situation, those plans are being made. And speaking of plans, you know, this is probably something that we ought to touch base on with our listeners, is what to plan for in case somebody happens to not feel well, go in, have a positive test, and then has to make some changes on a different level than what we've already done. So let's talk about that preparedness aspect for an individual that might happen to be COVID-19 positive.
You know, Dave, we always talk about planning for disasters, and we go back to have a plan, have a kit, you know what know some things about what you've what you're going to have to do, and you know, I lean back on the same kit that we talk about for tornadoes and severe weather and flooding and ice storms and things like that. But there's some things you really need that are a little bit different here, because we're not talking 48 or 72 hours now. We're talking about maybe having pharmacy medications for 14 to 30 days, maybe have that kind of supply. We're talking about both prescription medications and non-prescription, you know, the pain relievers, antacids, cold medicines, vitamins, those type of things that you may need, especially if you're quarantined. I like talking about those people that would have maybe a child, a single parent with a child, and how they would take care of those children, you know, a baby, and having non-perishable food for the children, you know, maybe non-refrigerated box of milk or some of that kind of stuff. One of the things that kind of stuck out, and I know there's a lot of information out there on FEMA's website, ready.gov, and one of the things that kind of stuck out in my mind was a portable crib. A pack and play, for example, would be great to have, because you never know if you're going to have room, and maybe you a single parent wouldn't want their child sleeping in the same bed as them if they're quarantined in some other location.
It seems that you know, you talk about the medication side of it, that would be really, really challenging. And you know, today, you know, when insurance companies will only pay for so much medication for 1 month, that is that a challenge that's that's overcomable for folks if they happen to be testing positive to get their monthly medication?
Well, I think that that's something that they would want to talk to their doctor about when they do test positive. And it's going to take a trip to the doctor to get tested, that kind of stuff. So, we would want to make those arrangements ahead of time. And some other things that you might think about was, especially for those seniors out there, specialized items, wheelchair batteries, oxygen catheters, food for a service animal. You don't think about that much. And maybe even keeping a list of type and models of medical devices that you require, just in case you need to get one of those serviced.
And if you happen to have to go into the hospital for treatment, you have to have your pets taken care of too.
Right. And pets are a whole different thing. I mean, I know that one of the things you need to talk to is your veterinarian and see if there's something you should do that's special, anything that would be revolving around that. Need to create a plan, and it may include things like a buddy system. We're always wondering about what we're going to do, but you get with a buddy, get with a neighbor, say, hey, I'll take care of your pet, or if you're infected, or maybe you can take care of mine if I have to go into quarantine of some sort.
Last night we had some interesting weather patterns develop. We had some hail. We had some snow. Here we are in the middle of April, and severe weather is something that also, this is kind of aside maybe from the COVID-19 aspect, but severe weather could affect any of us anywhere at any time.
Oh, man, I tell you, the hail brought that back last night. I mean, we've had several rounds of hail. Pott County had ping pong size hail just this last weekend. So the threat for our severe weather is pretty imminent, in this month and next month. So, we need to be prepared for those type of items. Need to be aware of what's happening. I've talked to people that said, I didn't even know it was going to storm yesterday or whatever. And there's a lot of ways to be notified right now. In fact, we encourage people to don't wait on the sirens. Don't count on the sirens. Get multiple ways of being notified for any kind of a disaster. And that includes this event. I mean, we have information that goes out to just people that subscribe for public health advisories.
And there's an app for that.
There is. There's several apps for that. Of course, on the severe weather side, there's multiple versions of being notified for either weather, flooding, any kind of a pandemic, or in the worst case scenario, we have the capability of notifying every phone, every cell phone.
Pat, we're going to have to move on here today, but we certainly appreciate you calling us and giving us an update from some different perspectives. The personal emergency management, and that's definitely within the scope of your job as the emergency management director for Riley County. And we certainly want to send a shout out to all of our first responders and those that are tending to the healthcare needs of the community. And we certainly appreciate you calling this afternoon.
I tell you, I do want to thank everybody. You listed some of the numbers, our numbers in Riley County have been significantly down compared to some of the other places around, and it just proves that the Manhattan Riley County area is taking advantage and staying at home. So,
all right,
thank them.
I think you just thanked them on for us, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.